So it's local news and features of Update Talking News Stoke. It's Tim and Uta, and we have four more news stories for you. We're going to do the headlines, and Uta's going to do them first this time around.
Yes, the first one is about a grooming gangs scandal, and the second one is the celebration of a £250,000 cheque.
Okay, my headlines are: council investigators uncover a staggering 2.7 million Stoke-on-Trent fraud cases, and an end of an era as town's final shoemaking heritage link to make way for 114 homes. So over to Uta, who's going to do the first story for us in batch number two.
So, it's about Stoke-on-Trent leaders. They urge victims to come forward amid grooming gangs scandal. Council leaders have urged victims of child sexual exploitation to come forward following a national report on grooming gangs. Cabinet members at Stoke-on-Trent City Council received a briefing on the local work being undertaken to tackle child abuse in the city. This work includes safeguarding around child sexual exploitation, CSE, as well as child criminal exploitation, CCE, which can involve youngsters being coerced into working for county line gangs. The briefing followed recent publication of Baroness Casey's report on group-based CSE, which called for a new national inquiry into grooming gangs. Baroness Casey found deep-rooted institutional failures that allowed CSE to continue and specifically condemned organizations' reluctance to acknowledge the overrepresentation of Asian and Pakistani men as perpetrators due to the fear of being branded racist. A petition calling for a Stoke-on-Trent inquiry into CSE and grooming gangs, started by former City MP Jonathan Gullis and signed by more than 1,800 people, is due to be debated by councillors. Cabinet members said that the Casey report had to be a turning point and that it is vital that victims have the confidence to come forward. Councillor Sarah Hill, Cabinet Member for Finance, said, "We've been waiting for the Casey report for some time. It's a shocking report and there's a lot in there for us to think about our own behaviour in the past. The key thing for us is making sure children are safe now, but recognizing that there's a lot of bad stuff happening. If there are women or men who have been exploited in the past, it's really important that they come forward so we can make sure that they get the help they need." Councillor Leader Jane Ashworth said, "This has to be a turning point whereby the good work that's going on is consolidated. We have to be alert to the changes in the challenge, particularly around social media and the increased sophistication of those who prey upon children. There's going to be a national inquiry, and if people who want to come forward or help or see justice done, this is the time to do that. We need to be confident in the city that we are absolutely as sharp as we can be going forward and we address the problems of the past." The Cabinet heard from Deputy Chief Constable Rebecca Riggs from Staffordshire Police, the National Policing Lead for Child Protection, as well as the Council's own officers. They explained the multi-agency approach to safeguarding, which involves data sharing between organisations, prevention work and early intervention, as well as criminal proceedings against perpetrators. In March, a total of 169 children in Stoke-on-Trent were being considered by the Multi-Agency Child Exploitation Panel, most of whom are classed as medium risk. CCE cases make up the majority of this caseload, with 129 cases compared to 18 CSE and 22 cases involving both, with boys accounting for around two-thirds of the cohort. The report to Cabinet says partners are aware of the need to continue to be vigilant to ensure that the signs of exploitation in girls are not being missed. DCC Riggs explained that at a national level, 800 CSE cases were there and had been no further action were being reviewed. She added, "I've been able to work with partners on a local scale and how we work together around the national announcements that have come from government and how we as a collective work together to make sure that our children here in Staffordshire are protected and kept safe.
Many thanks. So, council investigators uncover a £2.7 million fraud problem in Stoke-on-Trent. Council officers have uncovered £2.7 million of fraud last year, a new report has shown, and Stoke-on-Trent City Council's corporate fraud team investigated a total of 108 cases in 2024 to 2025, including housing tenancy, right to buy and council tax fraud. The figures reported to the council's audit committee were down on those from 2023 to 2024, when there were 142 cases totalling £3.6 million. Committee members were told that this was due to the team having fewer staff. There were 40 cases of residents fraudulently claiming the single person discount on their council tax, making it the most common type of fraud. The 18 housing tenancy fraud cases had an estimate combined value of £1.6 million. Based on the cost of temporary accommodation for genuine applicants, legal costs to recover properties and re-let costs. There were also 22 cases of right to buy fraud and 6 other cases relating to council tax. Head of Audit and Fraud, Claire Potts, told the committee that the team was looking to increase efficiency to uncover the same amount of fraud with fewer resources. She said the value of the frauds identified over the course of the year was £2.7 million, which is a real positive result. It's slightly down on the previous year, but we have got fewer staff in the team, which is the key reason why we've been able to look at fewer cases. We're looking at making sure we're efficient going forward, so we're focusing on areas of high risk and high value fraud, and where we do need to look at other areas of fraud, we're doing that as efficiently as we can. Instead of a visit, can we send a letter? So over to Uta, who's going to do her next story in batch two.
Oh, what to do when you find out you have won £250,000. Well, Stoke-on-Trent Street were dumbstruck, families celebrating £250,000 cheques. NHS worker Deborah Phillips was in the A&E department at Royal Stoke when she found out she had won £250,000 on the People's Postcode Lottery. Partner Earl Cameron rang to tell her that lottery representatives were at their home in Trentham waiting to hand over the cheque for £250,000. Deborah, aged 58, was one of three neighbours celebrating after ST48BN was announced as the winner of one of the lottery's newest prizes today. Every player in the winning postcode receives £250,000 for each ticket they have. And Deborah revealed she had been on the cusp of cancelling her lottery subscription a few weeks ago. The grandmother of seven said, "Thankfully, I kept it on. I would have been sick as a pig if I'd stopped. I was at work and my partner rang me to say the postcode lottery were at their house. I screamed in A&E and said, 'I've got to go home. This is life-changing. We've always worked for what we've got and never had anything given to us. I can do a lot of things now and help my loved ones. I'm not materialistic. It will be nice to treat others.' The social care assessor also wants to replace her car and upgrade a holiday they have booked later in the year. She added, 'My aunt is 92 and not too well at the moment, so I can get her more care. I'll treat my two daughters, stepson and grandchildren. We're going on holiday to Turkey in September. We've booked an apartment, but might upgrade to a fancier hotel now. I'd like to hire a villa to take all the family on holiday at some point. I never thought this would happen to me. I'm pinching myself. I've never won anything before.' Excited Rebecca Seaton, aged 58, booked a holiday to Tenerife within seconds of finding out that husband Tim, aged 62, had won £250,000. Retired joiner Tim choked back tears when he saw his winnings, then revealed he's only been playing postcode lottery for 7 months. He said, 'I'm dumbstruck. This is far more than I expected. I signed up for the charities and maybe to win some money. This is amazing. I'm over the moon.' Tim now wants to downsize from his detached villa to a bungalow and continue his love affair with the Ford Capri. He said, I'd like to get a bungalow before we need a bungalow, if you know what I mean. I'd like to invest in that for the future. I've also had Capris and I want another one. Tim said he'll help out sons Isaac, age 30, a scaffold firm owner, and professional poker player Archie, age 26, and beloved three-year-old English bulldog Donald. He said, I'll be treating the family, obviously, but spend it wisely. My dad always said, if you win any money, don't worry, because it won't be you who decides how to spend it. So over to you, Tim.
How true is that? So, end of an era, as town's final shoemaking heritage link is to make way for 114 homes. An historic North Staffordshire factory building is to make way for more than 100 new homes, and councillors have given the green light for Stonefield worksite to be cleared ready for redevelopment. Stafford Borough Council's planning committee has delayed a decision on the site recently and the town's last link to its shoemaking heritage. In October last year, after questions were asked about whether part of the historic building could be retained and used in the proposed housing development, but this week the application put forward by Hitachi Energy UK Limited returned to the committee. Members voted to approve it, subject to conditions in line with the planning officer's recommendation. The application sought online consent for demolition of existing buildings at the Alton site and redevelopment to provide up to 114 homes and public open spaces. More detailed proposals are set to come forward in a reserved matters application at a later date. At the October meeting, Ward Councillor and Stone historian Philip Leeson, who called in the application for consideration by the planning committee, said the frontage of a sister building in Banbridge in Northern Ireland had successfully been converted, but a report to Wednesday's meeting said that the office building at the former Down Shoe Factory site, which is listed, had been retained and reused as offices, but not for residential use. The report added that the design and internal arrangement of the stone building has been, it being a narrow single room depth building, is such that it's likely to make it difficult to design a viable scheme with unit yields being low and conversion costs and future maintenance liabilities being very high. The retention would also reduce the quantum of family housing, including affordable, that would be delivered. The costs of retaining and converting the building could impact on the viability of the wider development, and this could also result in a reduction in the quantum of affordable housing that the scheme is able to deliver, or a reduction in the overall quantum of S106 obligations and financial contributions that Hitachi is able to agree to because of viability issues. Okay, so that's it for batch number two. Keep listening. We've got more stories for you in batch three.